To Make Much of Time by Cinella, read by Patica. Summary. When Iron Man rejects Steve's romantic advances, Steve is disappointed. But of course he understands. Iron Man's secret identity is important. But when a portal opens and Tony Stark crashes into their midst from 12 years in the future, Steve starts to suspect that there are more secrets here than he can even begin to comprehend. And neither Iron Man nor Tony are providing any answers. Steve was, at heart, an optimist. He wasn't going to say that waking up half a century in the future hadn't been a shock, and he wasn't going to say that there weren't people and things he missed about the time he had come from. But there was a lot to like about the time that he'd found himself in. It was like living in his very own dime store science fiction novel, and he'd be damned if he wasn't going to make the best of it. The future had wonders aplenty, vaccines, all sorts of medicine, desegregation, interracial marriage in every state, women in the workplace, men with men, women with women, loving each other, even holding hands in public, rock and roll, air conditioning and refrigerators everywhere, frozen dinners, grocery stores the size of warehouses, filled with every fresh fruit and vegetable he could name, and dozens he couldn't, whether or not they were in season, televisions, in color, wireless telephones that fit in your pocket, well, if you had big pockets. Telephone wires instead connecting computers to each other. And those were so marvelous that he was still getting his head around them and all their uses. And then there were the Avengers. His teammates. More than his teammates. They were his friends. There were Giant Man and Wasp, devoted to each other in a way that made Steve smile to think about. Sure, Hank could be every inch the typical distracted scientist, but he was a loyal friend. And Wasp, Jan, was so bright and effervescent, determined to help show Steve the world he'd missed. The world included just as many department stores, it seemed, and she led Steve through all of them. He was getting a fashion education just watching her. And there was Thor, who was from even farther away than Steve. It heartened Steve to know that he wasn't the only one still getting used to the way things were here. Thor, too, took everything in stride with a jovial sense of humor. It was good to be around him. It was good to be around all of them. And, of course, there was Iron Man. Iron Man's voice had been the first thing he'd heard out of the ice. Steve wondered, sometimes, if that was when it had started. If there had been some space in his heart that he hadn't even known was empty, waiting to be filled. All the Avengers were his friends, but Iron Man was something special. He was clever, with a brilliant Quicksilver mind, though he modestly insisted that he was only the suit's pilot. And Tony Stark was the real genius. He had a sense of humor that alternated between a smart, dry wit, never cruel, never cutting, and awful jokes that made Steve spit out his morning coffee more than once. He was always there when Steve wanted to know something, and he was so kind in his explanations that Steve never felt like Iron Man was talking down to him. In battle, they were perfect. A team. A duo. They fought together like they'd been partners for 10 years, and not one. He just loved spending time with Iron Man. His sketchbooks were filled with studies of him, all angled armor drawn from memory, with a few quick sketches done at the Avengers briefing table. He hadn't quite gotten up the courage to ask Iron Man to pose for him. And Iron Man seemed to like spending time with him. Even though Iron Man couldn't really eat in the suit, he'd still go out to lunch with Steve an attempt to wedge a straw through the mouth slit in his helmet. It mostly worked. Really, Steve was touched that Iron Man wanted to be with him that much. When they were together, Steve was just so elated by his presence that the world seemed to shrink to the two of them. It was a heady feeling, warm and light in his chest, soaring high and bright, just like when Iron Man took him flying. It was the most natural evolution that his thoughts should turn to the man under the armor. It wasn't as if Steve had never thought about men in that way before, but with Iron Man, it was different. All of his other attractions to men had been passing fancies, purely physical. A fellow with a nice smile, or strong shoulders, or clever, nimble hands. This was something else entirely. He didn't even know what Iron Man looked like, save that he had blue eyes. That was all that was visible. And he wanted him anyway. Wanted him with a great, vast yearning that left him raw inside. He wanted to lift up the helmet, to see his face, to see him smile, to hear his real voice, his real laugh. Steve knew he would like how Iron Man looked, no matter what. He wanted to kiss him, to run his fingers through his hair, to hold his hand as they walked together, to cuddle up next to him, and other things besides. He wanted to make Iron Man happy. He wanted Iron Man to be happy with him. Even if Iron Man had to keep the armor on, he gathered that at least some of it couldn't ever be removed. That would be okay too. He'd work with it, whatever Iron Man gave him. He'd done his research. It was legal now to be with men, unless he was going back to the army, which he wasn't. And even then, he'd just have to not tell them, as he understood it. Don't ask, don't tell, they said. Well, he already hadn't told them before. That part didn't seem like much of a hardship. It was sad that he couldn't be open about it, but not different. But in society in general, it was allowed, permitted. The first part of the plan, of course, was to ask Iron Man out. Steve was, at heart, an optimist, and he hadn't really believed Iron Man would reject him. For the first few seconds after Steve asked him, there was only frozen silence, and Steve was conscious of so many inconsequential details, because he couldn't read Iron Man's reaction. There was the bright morning sunlight filtering in through the library windows and off of Iron Man's gleaming armor, the smell of the books, the chirping of the birds outside. Then Iron Man sighed, a noise that sounded like a radio between stations, and put his head up to look directly at Steve from across the table. His eyes looked wide, maybe surprised, but it was hard to tell.
I can't,
Iron Man said, and behind the mask, his eyes shut briefly, almost wearily, like it had hurt him.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Steve tried to breathe past the sudden, miserable, crumbling feeling in his chest. His throat was tight. All of his daydreams and fantasies were withering, like cut flowers left in the sun. But he was an adult. He could handle this. No one had so much as looked at him before the serum. He'd had plenty of experience with not being wanted. All right, he said. And it took him two tries to say, and another moment to swallow past the painful lump in his throat. Thank you. His voice was wobbly and hoarse. It didn't sound like him.
I'm sorry, Steve,
Iron Man repeated. But even as he was saying no, something about his voice was still unbelievably kind, like he was trying not to hurt him. Maybe that was what gave Steve the courage to speak. I know it's not really any of my business, but is it that you aren't interested in me specifically, or men in general, or are you not looking for anyone right now? He knew Iron Man wasn't married, at least. Iron Man had mentioned that much about himself before. It was an incredibly personal question, but, well, Iron Man explained things to him. Maybe Iron Man could explain this. Iron Man sighed again and put his head between his hands. The dim repulsors gleamed bright off the metal of his helmet.
None of the above, he said finally.
Reluctantly, like the words were being pulled slowly out of him.
I just can't.
He didn't say it like he didn't want to, Steve realized. Iron Man said it like he couldn't. That meant Iron Man did want him. Oh, God. Iron Man wanted him too, he thought, and hope and excitement flared hot in his chest. They wanted each other. So what was the problem? Why can't you? Steve pressed. He knew Iron Man didn't owe him the answer. Iron Man didn't owe him anything. But if Iron Man wanted to, shouldn't it be simple? Iron Man stared up at him. His blue eyes were startlingly fierce. His face, as always, was an impassive metal mask.
I have to preserve my secret identity. I'm sorry.
I won't tell anyone.
I can't tell you, Iron Man retorted.
Was it Steve's imagination, or is the mechanically altered voice upset?
You're someone. You still count.
Steve held out his hands helplessly. Even if you take off the helmet, I still won't know who you are, will I? I'm not asking for your name. I'm not asking for your secrets. Just, I thought you liked me, he said. And his face went hot, and his eyes burned, and he thought maybe he was going to cry.
Steve,
Iron Man said. And even the filtered voice sounded hoarse. Racked by some emotion, as Iron Man reached across the table and brushed the back of Steve's hand with metallic fingertips.
I do like you, okay? God, I really do. A lot. And believe me, it makes me so, so happy to think that you might feel something for me. You have no idea. If it weren't for the secret identity, I would go out with you in a heartbeat. I swear.
Steve smiled weakly. But you can't. He sighed. Is this one of Tony's conditions of employment? Did he make you sign away your love life? He couldn't help but feel more than a little annoyed at Tony. He didn't hate the man. But he didn't really like him either. He just hardly knew him at all, even after a year of living in his mansion. Tony wasn't ever really here. He'd disappear into the basement workshop for days on end, and he'd come back with upgrades for Iron Man or new gear for the rest of the Avengers, looking like he hadn't slept in weeks. And then he'd be off again, presumably to run Stark Industries. Steve half suspected that there was some kind of secret tunnel leading out from the workshop, because most of the time, he never saw Tony enter or leave the house. It was a bizarre kind of generosity that Tony practiced, giving gifts at high speed and then leaving just as quickly. Tony got along with Jan. He knew Jan. But he always seemed a little awkward around the rest of the Avengers, especially Steve. Steve was always fumbling for things to talk about with him, and Tony kept looking at him half the time like he couldn't believe Steve was real. It was strange. Steve saw pictures of him in the society pages, suave, charming, debonair, and couldn't quite reconcile those images with the exhausted man he saw every few weeks in the hallway, who ducked away, looking almost guilty when Steve walked by. It was hard to get to know a man like that. Iron Man laughed, another wavering static noise.
Not precisely,
he said.
But Mr. Stark requires me to maintain this identity, for reasons of personal safety that I am not at liberty to discuss.
The words sounded like something he'd said many times.
And so it would be very, very difficult to date anyone while in the suit. It's a consequence of employment, yes, but not an intended one.
And you're not interested in anything while you're in the armor? Anything at all? Even as Steve said it, he couldn't really think of anything they could do. Hold hands, maybe? He would take it. He would take anything. I know it couldn't be anything physical, but that doesn't matter to me. Iron Man shook his head.
You are so goddamn sweet, Winghead. Don't ever change, he said.
And in the midst of his sadness, Steve brightened at the compliment.
But no, I think that would be an exercise in frustration for both of us.
All right, Steve said. But even with the rejection, there was a sense of hope rising in him, bright like a star. Iron Man liked him. Even if they couldn't do anything, that counted for something. But if, when Tony decides it's okay for you to show your face, would you consider it? Consider me?
You don't give up, do you?
Iron Man laughed again. This one was something between pleased and sad. Maybe both.
You're really something. He isn't going to change his mind about this. But if he ever does, if you find out who I am under the armor, if you still want me after you know, then yes, I will. I'll go on a date with you. But don't get your hopes up. Mr. Stark won't reconsider.
You know him that well?
He won't,
Iron Man repeated.
He really won't change his mind.
But we can still be friends, right? Steve's voice wavered a little. He ought to have thought of that first. What if things would be forever strange and awkward between them now? The answer, it seemed, was easy.
Yeah, of course,
Iron Man said instantly.
Friends, always.
Steve opened his mouth. And an alarm went off as the library's lights flashed red. Steve yanked his Avengers card out of his belt pocket, waiting for the screen to light up, waiting for a call to assemble. But there was nothing. Giant Man and Wasp were off somewhere, making refinements to the Pym particles, and Thor was wherever he went when he wasn't avenging with them. So that meant he and Iron Man were the only two Avengers on the premises, and probably the only two Avengers in New York. That didn't mean the rest of the team hadn't run into trouble somewhere, but they clearly hadn't, because no one was calling in. And this wasn't a call for help from the Fantastic Four either. So why was there an alarm?
It's not the Avengers,
Iron Man said.
It's one of my local alarms, from the lab downstairs. Science in progress. Here, give me that for a sec.
Before Steve could say anything, Iron Man leaned over, grabbed Steve's identicard, blanked the screen out, and tapped in a few numbers. The lights went back to normal and the alarm faded. "What kind of science needs alarms?" Steve asked suspiciously, as Iron Man stood up. "What are you doing down there?" Iron Man raised his palms. The repulsors were dimmed, so it wasn't an actual defensive move.
"I wasn't doing anything, but I've been getting some weird readings all morning, so I set the scanners to pay closer attention."
"Closer attention to what?" Steve asked, confused. Iron Man picked up Steve's shield from where he'd rested it by the door and handed it to him.
"That's what I'm about to find out. You coming?"
"You bet." Friends, he told himself, as he followed Iron Man to the basement. They were friends. He hadn't ruined anything. It hadn't turned out the way he wanted, but it would be okay. Friends and teammates. Iron Man's secrets would stay secret. It was disappointing, of course, but he could handle it. He could deal with this.
"Well,"
Iron Man said, sounding impressed. His helmeted head tilted back to stare at the ceiling of the Avengers briefing room.
"I think I've identified the problem here."
The modulated voice was dryly amused.
"That's different."
Steve looked up. The ceiling was almost alive with energy, blue-white, like Iron Man's repulsors. Tendrils of energy crackled like lightning, outlining a flat plane that was set maybe an inch or two below the ceiling proper. It was rectangular, Steve thought, considering it. It looked almost like a doorway of some kind, like the blue fire's edges were outlining a path between here and some other world. There was only brightness in the middle, white and glowing, almost too bright to look at. But Steve couldn't shake the feeling that if he just looked hard enough, there'd be something on the other side. "What is it?" Iron Man looked away and tapped a few controls beneath one of the screens on the wall.
"It's a portal of some kind. The terminus looks like...
The noise that issues from him was a low hum of confusion, like standing near power lines. Steve frowned. "Looks like what?"
"The Baxter building,"
Iron Man said, and when he looked up from the controls, his eyes were wide behind the mask.
"But something's not quite right."
"That doesn't look like the Baxter building to me," Steve agreed, squinting back up at the blinding whiteness. Iron Man sighed.
"And it can't be ordinary teleportation. It can't. These readings are... they're just off the scale. I don't know what this is,"
he concluded, his voice crackling into utter frustration, like he thought he should know the answer to everything. Steve resisted the impulse to reach out and put a hand on Iron Man's shoulder. He wouldn't be able to feel it, and it seemed a little too soon after the conversation they just had. "Did you want me to call Reed Richards?" If Iron Man had hackles, they would have gone up.
"You think he knows more than I do?"
"Not at all." Steve held his hands up in surrender. Clearly, this was a sore spot. "I just meant, if it's coming from his building, maybe he..." The portal sizzled and gave a loud crackle. And then a man fell from the ceiling. He was a dark-haired, dark-suited blur. Or at least, that was all Steve could make out as the man fell. And as the portal closed above him, he hit the briefing room table hard, in the center of the team logo, with an echoing thud that sounded like it should rightly belong to someone a little heavier.
"Ow," the man said, voice thick and indistinct, as he lay curled in on himself.
"Fucking ow. Teleportation? Really? That's the absolute last time I'm going to let Reed..."
He was pushing himself up as he talked, turning to face them, sitting on the edge of the table. And then Steve caught sight of the man's face at last and couldn't stop staring. It was Tony Stark. It was Tony, and it wasn't. His hair was styled differently. It was slightly longer, falling onto his forehead, and his usual mustache was now a goatee. And he looked older in some way Steve couldn't quite quantify. He wasn't visibly aged, not that Steve could see. There were no lines on his face. But this wasn't the grinning, carefree playboy who posed for the papers. This man's eyes were haunted, like something had changed him. Tony was staring back at the two of them, his face slack, his eyes wide in surprise. But he didn't look afraid or overwhelmed, like Steve would have expected from him. Tony was a civilian. He wasn't an Avenger. He didn't have any experience dealing with these kinds of things. And yet, looking at him, Steve was left with the impression of vast competence, maybe more than the Avengers had. Whoever this man was, this kind of thing wasn't new to him.
"Oh, hell," Tony said, looking back and forth between the two of them. His hands were up in front of him, palms out, braced, wary.
"Tony?" Steve asked, and his voice cracked on the name. He felt ridiculous, but he had to know.
Tony nodded. "Hi, Steve." He gave a very little smile, and then his gaze settled on Iron Man.
"And hi, Iron Man?"
His voice wavered, uncertain, like he didn't know Iron Man's name, which was also ridiculous. Of course Tony knew it was Iron Man.
"That's me,"
Iron Man said, and the mechanical voice was flat, like Iron Man was shocked. Well, Steve supposed, it wasn't every day you saw your employer fall out of a portal in the ceiling.
"You know exactly who I am,"
Iron Man added, and his voice sounded tense now, harsh almost. Tony ran his fingers through his hair, yanking the longer strands into curling disarray.
"Okay," he said briskly. "Captain Iron Man, got it."
Steve was a little startled to hear the nickname out of Tony's mouth. He didn't think Tony had ever called him it. He hardly knew the man.
"Two questions to start with."
He sounded perfectly calm, reasoned, like there was some well-rehearsed protocol he was following.
"Which Earth am I on, and what year is it?"
What did he mean, which Earth? Confused, Steve glanced over at Iron Man.
"This is Earth 616, Iron Man said, "and it's 1998.
Tony exhaled, a sigh of relief. He visibly relaxed, the tension easing out of his shoulders. He'd been carrying himself a little tightly, hands held up in front of his chest, like he'd been ready for a fight. He was slowly lowering his arms now. Steve hadn't ever pictured Tony as a brawler. And though it had clearly been a defensive stance, his hands hadn't ever been in fists. His palms had been facing outward. It was all very odd.
"Yeah, that's about what it looks like with that armor," Tony said, almost cheerfully. He was taking this remarkably well. just time travel mad. Then he frowned. I guess if this could be good or bad, I'd rather not change the past. I'm going with good, though. What do you think? Iron Man said nothing. What year are you from, then? Steve asked, when Iron Man still hadn't spoken. He was dizzy with possibilities, the blood rushing to his brain. He felt like this was his life in reverse. Here was someone else from another time. He wondered if this was how the other Avengers had felt when he'd woken from the ice and asked them about the future. 2010, Tony said promptly, and Steve blinked. He was really from 12 years in the future? It felt unbelievable, even though Steve knew it shouldn't be. Look what had happened to him, after all. Iron Man gave a scratchy mechanical cough.
If you don't mind me saying so, that's much better than I expected you to look at 35. All that clean living, huh?
The last two words were emphasized. The tone was sardonic, mocking. It was a strange thing for Iron Man to say, halfway to an insult, just as his voice had been so hard before. Iron Man had never been cruel with Steve, but maybe this was how he behaved with Tony? Steve supposed he wouldn't know. He'd never seen them together, after all. But it was a bizarre way for Iron Man to act around his boss. Thanks, Tony said, with utter sincerity, like the insult had bounced right off him, and he smirked, the corner of his mouth lifting. It's completely unnatural, actually. My youthful appearance, side effect of something else. Also, the procedure was terribly risky and is currently broken, but it was fun while it lasted. He sounded almost proud. I highly recommend it when you get the chance, in about 8 years. He pushed himself off the table with a confident ease and walked over. They could take him if they had to, Steve thought. He was baseline human. At least, he was if he was really Tony Stark. And even if he wasn't, both of them were bigger. Steve had about an inch on him, with Iron Man looming nearly half a foot above him. Oh, come on, Tony said, pleading, watching Steve's shield arm lift. I swear I'm not mind-controlled, or a clone, or a Skrull, or an LMD. Oh wait, do you have those yet? But I think at this point in time, you're lacking all the tech to verify, and I'm sure you wouldn't trust mine. Steve wondered what technology Tony meant. He was empty-handed and wearing a slightly wrinkled business suit. There was nothing on him.
You're saying we just have to trust you?
Iron Man said flatly.
Take your word for it?
More or less. And then Tony grinned back at Iron Man, wide and easy. And now he was the handsome man Steve saw in all the magazines. I mean, I have other verification that I'm sure you would believe, but I don't think you want me to get into it in public, if you know what I mean. The grin was rakish, inviting, and he sidled up to Iron Man, just a little closer, looking up at him through lowered eyelashes. And I know you know exactly what I mean. Steve blinked a few times. Had Tony really just made a pass at Iron Man? Iron Man was motionless.
I am positive you didn't mean that the way it sounded,
Iron Man said finally, like he'd been at a loss for words. Steve didn't blame him. Tony's answering smile was irrepressible, and maybe a little lewd. I didn't, but I know you can't say that's not on your bucket list. He winked.
On my what?
It's from a movie. Tony waved a hand. I guess we didn't say that before the movie existed. Whatever, it'll make sense in a decade. Steve was bizarrely charmed to know that he was no longer the only one who didn't understand the things people said in the future. He and Iron Man were somehow on equal footing now. That probably shouldn't have made him feel better about this, but it did. He took a steadying breath. Even if Iron Man was going to be especially strange about this, they had to figure out a plan. Steve held up a hand, and Tony and Iron Man both looked over at him. Right. He let his voice settle into what Iron Man liked to call his Captain America voice, low and authoritative. Proceeding on the assumption that you are who you say you are. Thank you, Tony interjected. Then we need to know how you got here, so we can work on sending you back to your time. Tony shrugged. All right. Team briefing, huh? You want to call the rest of the Avengers?
They're not around right this minute,
Iron Man said, crisply, almost icily.
We're holding down the fort. We can bring them in if necessary, but I'd rather not involve more people than we have to, for obvious reasons. I'm sure you understand.
The reasons weren't obvious to Steve. Surely Iron Man would appreciate help from Giant Man? Hank was the scientist of the group after all. But whatever mysterious reasons they were, they seemed to make sense to Tony. Right, of course, he said, with a significant glance at Iron Man. Steve was beginning to wonder if there was something else going on here between the two of them, something that he didn't understand. This future Tony had just propositioned Iron Man. Could the two of them be lovers? It had been a joke, he'd said, but maybe they were together in the future? And, of course, Iron Man had just turned Steve down. Tony, Steve thought, would be the only person who already knew Iron Man's identity. And so if Iron Man could date anyone, it would have to be Tony. But Iron Man had most definitely turned Tony down as well. And he was being almost insulting toward him. Steve didn't think Iron Man could ever behave like that to someone he loved. He hated to think that Iron Man behaved like this to anyone. Iron Man had said he liked him. A tiny betrayed voice in Steve's head cried. Iron Man didn't act like that around Steve. Did he hate Tony that much? Why the hell would Tony still employ him? It didn't seem to faze this Tony any either. It was like he expected Iron Man to act like this. It didn't make any sense. Tony took a seat in one of the chairs, leaning back and putting his feet on the table, like he was perfectly at ease with being here, like he was down here in the Avengers briefing room all the time. Steve couldn't remember him ever being here. Tony looked up and raised a guileless eyebrow. Anyone else sitting, or just me? Steve sat. Iron Man sat. The chair creaked under him.
Feet off the table, please.
It didn't sound like a request when he said it. Tony scowled and slid his feet back to the floor. Fine, be that way. He was still leaning back in the chair, and he swiveled to face Steve. Cap, you running the show? He drawled. He sounded so familiar with him. But Steve didn't really know this man, not at all. Steve sat up straighter. Certainly, he said, dropping back into that Captain America voice. You can start by telling us how you got here. Tony's eyes narrowed, and he rubbed at his chin, like he was trying to decide how much of the story to tell. I was at the Baxter building. I'd been working on my new suit. A new suit for Iron Man.
You were building it with Reed Richards?
Iron Man asked, incredulous. And Steve was beginning to wonder what Iron Man had against everybody today. Nothing was making any sense. It's a long story. Tony looked away. He had the parts I needed, and I didn't have access, to a lot of my usual materials or facilities. The old suits were unusable. Anyway, the new suit was built, had been built, for a couple of weeks now. We were going through some advanced testing, exposing the armor to various types of radiation and other emissions. He had portals active somewhere in the building. You know Reed. He's always got something open to somewhere. Negative zone. Who knows what else? And then I guess there was some kind of interaction between the radiation and one of the portals and... he waved his hand. Then I was here. Steve tried to picture the scene. So you and Reed were monitoring from elsewhere? Iron Man was in the suit? Or it was empty? Tony's eyes darted away again. Iron Man was in the suit, yeah. And the portal picked just you up? Not Iron Man, who'd been in the room with the radiation? Not Reed, who'd been in the room with him? That seemed odd. But only Tony had come through, so clearly that must have been how it had happened. Yeah, Tony agreed. Just me. Reed, everyone else was unaffected, as far as I could tell. The floor below me was gone. I just fell. And I could see the portal closing around me as I fell. So I'm pretty sure I'm the only one. So, Steve said, trying to work this out. We can assume that in your time, Reed and Iron Man are looking for you? Maybe in the future, Iron Man didn't care about Tony at all. The present Iron Man certainly seemed not to. Reed definitely is, Tony said, pursing his lips in thought. He was, Steve noted, entirely evading the part of the question about Iron Man. What the hell had happened in the future between Tony and Iron Man? For that matter, what the hell was happening now? Iron Man had hardly said anything to Tony, and it had all been insulting. It also seemed odd that Tony would be content to leave the matter in the hands of the Fantastic Four. After all, it wasn't their team he sponsored. Unless he helped out everyone in the future? What about the Avengers? Steve asked. Did they know what you were up to? Would they be looking too? An awful shadow look passed over Tony's face. His features twisted in misery. And Steve was really beginning to wonder what had happened. There was something there, something big, something wrong. He wasn't telling them about it. Tony scraped a hand over his face. There's not an Avengers team right now, per se, he said, voice quiet and pained. And at any rate, my relationship with the rest of the superhero community is tenuous. Something awful had happened. They weren't a team. No Avengers, no Wasp or Giant Man or Thor, no Iron Man. Something was really... Wait, what? What do you mean, the rest of the superhero community? You're not... Steve began, and then Tony flinched. Fuck, he said very quietly. Well, you've never been stupid, have you, Cap? And then his eyes slid over to Iron Man, like he was waiting for some reaction. In the future, let's just say that the Avengers have discovered that I have a great many talents that I use more fully than I do now.
Have they?
Iron Man asked, and it was almost a shock to hear Iron Man speak. His voice gave away nothing. He was sitting perfectly still. He could have been an actual robot. Tony nodded once, firmly. I've had a more active role in the Avengers for a while, you could say. Quite a few years. Steve frowned. Tony wasn't any kind of superhuman. He couldn't possibly be on the team. At least, he couldn't be in the field with them. So probably he just consulted more, built them more things. He supposed that would be nice. He hardly knew Tony now. Maybe Tony stuck around more instead of just handing them gear and leaving. Maybe that made him an honorary superhero. But that wasn't really the point. The point, right now, was to figure out how to get this Tony back to when he came from. So, if there are no current Avengers, it's just us and presumably the Reed Richards from your time working on getting you home? Steve asked. He wondered if that would be enough. Tony shrugged. Maybe. There are other groups in the future, more than there are now, but they're mostly not full of the scientist types. There's also a government agency or two that might be tapped. National Security. America's top cop may or may not take an interest. His mouth twisted again. It really depends on how he feels about me. And these days, I wouldn't think he'd want to put in the effort. Had Tony gotten on the wrong side of the law somehow? It was all very strange. But the two of you can work on it then? Steve ventured. Tony nodded again, and then, slowly, Iron Man gave a grudging nod of agreement. Because we can call Reed if you want, Steve offered. It was his building you came from. Will come from. We wouldn't have to bring anyone else in, not a whole team. Or we could ask our current Tony. I mean, he glanced at Tony. I get the impression that you're a pretty handy guy, so maybe with two of you...
He won't be available. He's busy with SI all week, Iron Man said.
Tony's face in response was a moo of disgust. Is he? It wasn't a question.
Yes,
Iron Man said, his mechanized voice crackling, heavily, angrily.
He definitely is.
Steve looked between the two of them, confused. He had had enough of this. Could one of you tell me what's going on here? Iron Man jumped a little in his seat, armor creaking, like he'd forgotten Steve was there.
Sorry. It's, confidential. More SI business.
Tony favored Steve with a smile that was all teeth. Oh, I'm sure it will all make sense someday, Cap. Right, Steve said, completely at sea. The three of them sat, frozen, with Steve still entirely bewildered, until Iron Man looked away and hissed, a quiet fuzz noise of frustration.
Before we start working on anything, Iron Man said, sounding half sheepish and half tense. I've got to take a bit of a break. Emergency maintenance. Urgent.
Steve stared. Iron Man hadn't ever said anything like that before. Is there something wrong? Was he sick? Was the suit broken?
No,
Iron Man said quickly.
I just have to take care of something. I'll be a few minutes.
He pushed himself up out of the chair with another heavy creaking of armor. Tony's face brightened. Oh man, that takes me back, he said, like he knew exactly what Iron Man meant. No doubt, this was one of those shared secrets Iron Man and Tony had. Let me help. And he was jumping out of his chair to join Iron Man, following him to the door.
I can take care of it myself. You know that.
The words were snapped. Iron Man was apparently just going to be angry at Tony. Tony's reply was quiet, calming, reassuring. Yes, but I also know it goes faster with someone else to help you. Iron Man threw his hands in the air. The glow from his repulsors reflected wildly off the screens on the wall.
Fine. Do what you like.
Tony grinned over his shoulder as he followed Iron Man out. Back in a few, Cap, he said. He could hear them walking down the hall toward the workshop at the other end of the floor. Iron Man seemed to have forgotten,
And maybe Tony hadn't known that Steve's hearing was also peak human, because they were still talking. "Don't freak out," Tony was saying, his low voice echoing in the hallway. Iron Man's reply was too quiet for Steve to catch. "No, I know you're freaking out." Tony's voice was raised in obvious annoyance. "Seriously? You're going to try lying to me about how you feel? It's going to be all right, I promise. God, try to relax." Whatever Iron Man said was still unintelligible. "Look, I actually do know what I'm doing. Static. Can't keep your mouth shut. More static. Going to know." "He isn't," Tony said. "He isn't. No one is. Not now. Not yet. Trust me. I know you trust me. You've got to trust me. We can do this." And then the workshop door opened and closed, the sound attenuated, and Steve couldn't hear anything else. What the hell was going on? It wasn't long before there were footsteps echoing down the hallway again, but it was only enough noise for one person, and it wasn't Iron Man's familiar heavy tread. Tony stuck his head in the doorway. "All shellheads tied up for a few minutes," he said, with a kind of secretive grin that suggested that he meant something specific by the joke, and he wasn't going to elaborate. "He'll be done soon. I thought I'd come back and say hi." "Hi," Steve said, warily, as Tony sat down again in the same seat that he'd so recently vacated. Iron Man usually sat there. He wondered what Tony was playing at. He wondered what Tony had been reassuring Iron Man about. "Is Iron Man all right? He had to leave in a hurry. Does he need some kind of help?" "Nah, it's just routine maintenance. He'll be done in a sec." Tony waved an unconcerned hand, even as Steve tried to figure out how routine maintenance could be such an emergency, and came up with no answers. "So, how are you doing these days?" He smiled, and now the smile was wide open, earnest, like he really cared. Tony had never really looked at him like that before. Steve shrugged, self-conscious in a way he usually wasn't, bewildered by the sudden intensity of the attention. It was uncomfortable, like standing in the focus of a spotlight. "Fine, you know. Or maybe you don't know. I live here. I spend time with the team. We save the planet. It's the usual Avenger life." Maybe Tony in the future would know more about that than he did now. He said he'd worked more closely with the team. "It's a good life. I'm adjusting to the future. The team's great. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy." He was. That wasn't a lie. Setting aside the part where Iron Man had just turned him down, of course. But Tony didn't need to know that. Tony's smile, to his astonishment, was a little wobbly. His eyes may be a little too bright. "That's... God, I'd forgotten what it was like." His voice was scratchy, rough, as if he were on the verge of tears. "I'm really glad you're happy with the Avengers cap. That means a lot to me. You have no idea how much." Tony was going to cry? Tony didn't like him. Tony didn't even really know him. Steve didn't think he meant anything to him. Not really. Not beyond the costume. Not beyond the symbol. But maybe that was different in the future. "So," Steve ventured, "in your time, we're friends? The two of us, I mean." Tony was looking off into the distance, gaze unfocused, like he was really talking to someone else, some other version of him. I think friendship's a poor word for it, Tony said finally, and it had none of the teasing, flirtatious tone Steve might have expected from that sentence. His voice was quiet, hushed like whispers in church, like something that was too intense to bear description. You and I? We've been almost everything to each other over the years. We're close, very close. You're one of the most important people in my life. He shut his eyes briefly, and when he opened them, his gaze was all sorrow. It's not always good between us. And right now it's pretty fucking rotten. He took a shaking breath. But friends? Yeah, I guess you could call us friends. He had no idea what to say to that. He didn't even know Tony. He couldn't imagine knowing him that well. He could hardly imagine knowing anyone that well. Oh. Tony rubbed at his face, pinched the bridge of his nose. Jeez, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just lay that all on you. It's like you're him, but you don't. You wouldn't. I can tell you things I can't tell him, because you're not going to. He sighed. Never mind. How could he and Tony mean all that to each other? He could certainly say that right now, Iron Man was his closest friend. And if that wasn't going to be true in the future, then what was going to happen between them? Had he made a mistake asking Iron Man out? What if they were no longer friends because of it? Had it all been his fault? Tony peered at him curiously. You all right there? That was probably a little much, wasn't it? I mean, if we don't know each other well now, as you say. No, Steve said, stricken. I'm fine. Am I still friends with the rest of the team? With Iron Man? Maybe he doesn't talk about his life with you that much, but I'd hate to think that in the future I'm not friends with him at all. Tony's mouth twisted. He was silent a long while. That's complicated, he said finally. I don't think that I can say, and I don't feel comfortable speaking for him. Steve's heart sank. That was a no. Tony didn't want to say, but that was a no. What had gone wrong between them? Okay. His voice sounded hollow to his ears. Thanks anyway. I suppose I get to look forward to getting to know you better, though. You're a good man. He wondered what Tony, the current Tony, would make of their visitor from the future. It was a shame Tony wasn't around. Maybe Tony would have liked to see himself, to talk about what his life would become. Steve could see how he might be friends with Tony. At least this version of Tony was interested in talking to him and wasn't just avoiding him in the hallways. It could be a start. He could make an effort the next time he actually saw Tony. Tony smiled. You flatter me, Cap. Steve smiled back, and something within him glowed warm, the faintest ember of hope. If he wasn't going to be friends with Iron Man, he'd be friends with Tony. It wouldn't be the same, and it would hurt. He knew enough about going on without his old friends to know that. But maybe it would be enough. Iron Man's heavy footsteps thudded down the corridor, and then Iron Man was standing in the doorway.
Sorry about that. All done, he said cheerfully. Would have been faster if someone hadn't abandoned me and sneaked back here.
And then his head turned to Tony, and Steve could see his eyes narrowed behind the mask.
What have you been telling him, huh?
The question was light, joking,
but his eyes were still narrowed, like he was worried, like there was something he didn't want Steve to know. Tony grinned a lazy grin. Nothing bad. Don't worry. That was, Steve thought, an odd way to characterize a conversation in which Tony had strongly implied that Iron Man and Steve would no longer be friends in the future. Maybe that was the secret Tony and Iron Man both knew. Maybe their secret was whatever made Steve and Iron Man stop liking each other. But he liked Iron Man so much. It wasn't fair.
I'm not worrying,
Iron Man practically snapped the reply. Of course you're not, Tony said, pushing himself up from the table. Come on, let's go build a time machine, and then I'll be out of your hair for good. I'm sure you'll appreciate it. 12 years from now, Steve would have to remember this day, just so he could figure out everything he was clearly, obviously missing right now. He'd just have to pay closer attention now, while Tony was still here. Maybe there'd be some kind of clue.